Welcome to Here for Good, the podcast of the Jewish Federation of St. Louis. I'm Karen Scher, Vice President of Community Engagement for Federation. We are a couple of weeks into our 100 Days to Make an Impact campaign. It's exciting to see so many members of our community responding to the call and making their donations so that together we can meet the most pressing needs in our community. Hopefully you are seeing our posters at your synagogues, the J, and our other local community partners. Over the next several weeks, our Here for Good episodes will look at the many ways your donations to Federation make an impact in our community and around the world. Today's conversation will highlight one of Federation's highest priority areas, services to elderly Jews at risk. With the population of the United States aging, currently 15.5% of the population is age 65 or older, and at a little higher at 18% in the Jewish community. But by 2060, over 23% will be 65 or older. And this population faces risk factors that are of great concern, including living alone, having little to no family living nearby or at all, having major health concerns and living in poverty or having difficulty making ends meet. My guests today work every day to address the needs of this population. They are Joan Dennison, President and CEO of Covenant Place, and Mary Ann Shervitz, Director of the new Mirowitz Center. Before we talk about all the new things happening at Covenant Place, we may have some listeners who don't know about the history. Joan, how did Covenant Place begin?
That's a wonderful question, and thank you for having us with you on this podcast today, Karen. Our community should feel so proud of Covenant Place, which many people still refer to as Covenant House, but we renamed several years ago to Covenant Place. This organization was actually created by four organizations in our community through a collaboration in the early 1970s. And so the four organizations were the Jewish Federation of St. Louis, the Jewish Community Center, the Jewish Center for the Aged, and B'nai B'rith. And it was a time when there were many older Jewish adults who had immigrated here after the war, through the war years, and there needed to be a place for them to live. And so these wonderful organizations pulled their resources, their talents, and a lot of lay expertise and time to really give birth to what we now call Covenant Place. That building opened in the early 1970s with 226 apartments. And when all of those apartments were full, there were still over 1,000 people on the waiting list. And so again, the community rallied and they built the second Covenant House building, and then again a third, the High Building. And so really our community has had the same priorities of caring for vulnerable elderly for really 5 decades now. So our community should feel very proud of itself in this regard.
And one of our core values as a Jewish community is taking care of others and ensuring the security and safety of all people, and especially this population that is really the at-risk population and with an aging community. To me, that's just one of the most critical needs, it seems, and that Covenant Place is addressing a lot of that. Tell me a little bit more about some of the services that also Covenant Place provides for its residents.
So Covenant Place has in many ways served the same purpose as it's serving now, and even as we expand, and Mary Ann will talk more about that, about the Mirowitz Center, but even as we expand services to a greater community of older adults, Covenant Place has always been this hub for our community. So currently, we provide housekeeping services, subsidized affordable housekeeping services through funds we receive through the Jewish Federation. We're able to help people to remain in place because sometimes as we age, it's really hard to change the linens on your bed or clean your bathroom, and no one should have to go to institutional care because of those kind of things. We have a nightly meal program, a kosher meal program. We are benefited through a program through Aging Ahead, which provides federal and state funding, and through the Jewish Federation of St. Louis to help support the affordability of that program. And again, Covenant has been providing that program. We've been a site for that program for the community for about 5 decades. So it has been a hub for the community throughout the years. We also have social services for our residents. We have social service providers to help connect them with resources. We do health and wellness education programs. The Goldfarb School of Nursing comes and does education with residents and health information on a regular basis. We're actually part of their curriculum. And we have programs and classes and entertainment, all the things that help people to remain socially engaged and to remain healthy and well.
It sounds like that must also take a lot of volunteers to help make some of that happen as well.
So some of our teachers are paid and some are volunteer, and many volunteers have helped us. In fact, most recently, for those who are on the Millstone campus on a regular basis, you may have noticed that we have opened a new building just in June, end of June. You know, it was an amazing experience because the challenge of opening the new building was moving 102 older adult resident households from an old building into that new building. And as you can imagine, these are not typical moves. They're people who needed an exceptional amount of support, both physically and emotionally, to make a move from a home that maybe you have a lot of memories in, you've shared perhaps with a spouse who's no longer with you, and so forth. And so it was just an amazing thing to watch. We put a call out for volunteers, and whole organizations volunteered. Jewish Family and Children's Service, the Miriam Seidenfeld, their new CEO, made the option for every staff member to take time out of their workday to come and volunteer to help with these moves. Federation staff helped with the moves. Congregations came and helped with the moves. We had rabbis with levels helping to hang pictures. And when you know, high school kids who were coming and breaking down boxes and getting rid. So when you just looked at this, you sense the sense of a community experience and a community dedication and caring for the lives of older people. And I have to say, the response from the residents would bring tears to your eyes. And, you know, it's unfortunate that not every volunteer gets to see that, but I had someone literally grab my arm, which they like to do to slow me down when I'm running through the property, and just hold on to me and look me in the eye. And she said to me, she said, I was afraid. She just looked me in the eye and she said, I was afraid to make this move. And she said, but you know what? Everybody took care of us. And I'm in my apartment and I look every day from corner to corner and everything is perfect. It's just perfect. And then she pulled me to her and she gave me this hug. And then she pulled back and she looked at me in the eye and she said, I just want to tell you that I'm speaking for many people who may not be able to speak for themselves. And that's what this was for people. It was an amazing experience. Women's Philanthropy made all these little welcome goodie bags. And so when each person moved into their apartment, they had a bag with water and candy and notepads and all the kind of things to make it nice during a move. And a little note from Women's Philanthropy. And one resident, again, you know, stops me in the hallway and she said, you know, I look at that bag every day and she's, I just can't believe it. I just can't believe that somebody cared this much to provide this for us. It's just amazing. I'd like to write a thank you letter. And so again, I think sometimes volunteers don't even get to see the depth of the meaning of their effort. I do think from the response we've had from volunteers that it was also very meaningful for them as well.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people in the community are looking for those volunteer opportunities that really make a difference in people's lives. And you're right, they don't always see the impact of that. And really addressing some major challenges in the community as far as elderly isolation, and that people do care about them and do notice them and want to help them in any way that we can as a community. And it just also really speaks beautifully to the collective, the power of the collective community. And what a beautiful illustration of the power of community and addressing those needs. And so I'm sure there are many more stories that are, you know, illustrate that, but these are beautiful stories. I'd like to know a little bit also about some of the residents and who actually lives in Covenant Place.
It's an important question because we do tend to lump demographics, right? We think of, oh, older adults, oh, these older people. We have residents living with us from 62 to 102. I should also mention that we do have 15 apartments in the high building that adults 18 and over are eligible to live in if they have qualifying impairments, and that's something not a lot of people really know about. So another very important resource for people for this community. But the residents, we have a diverse community. We have a number of immigrants, really refugees from Russia that the Federation helped to relocate here to St. Louis. We have some Asian residents who are similar. Many are also refugees from communist countries. And then we have a lot of other people. And of course, we do also have a lot of Jewish people. And for so many decades, the property was thought of as the Jewish property. We do receive significant federal funding through the Department of Housing and Urban Development. It actually provides over almost $3.5 million of funding annually for the properties to help keep the rent rent affordable for people. So that's a very important resource. And it actually was part of the consideration when we were looking at doing the redevelopment of the properties was to not lose that funding.
So it's not just for the Jewish community, although that's a majority of the residents, but you're really serving a need in the area as well.
It's a huge need. Mm-hmm. And we have many people who would like to live with us. We'll never have enough housing for everybody who would like to live with us, unfortunately. And so as we started to do this redevelopment project, we really looked to see what was helping our residents to do so well. Because if you think about it, these are people who are really at risk. You know, they don't have typically a lot of expendable funds to provide additional services for themselves or sometimes even to just get food and medication. And yet, many are doing very well. And so we looked, well, the supportive services make such a huge difference. And so as we determined we needed to do the building project, which was really a response to failing buildings and infrastructure that wasn't enduring, we said, how could we do more than to help people in the greater community around us to have access to these services and even more? And that's really where we went to with that vision of what we'll talk about in a few minutes, I'm sure, which is the Mirowitz Center.
Wonderful. And I do appreciate so much how the Jewish community is not just responding to the needs of the Jewish community, but really responding to the needs in the St. Louis region as well, and providing those kinds of services that really speak to a broad range of needs and helping to keep people out of other facilities and living longer. And we know that people are living longer. And
it's very interesting because what we see today is living with us at Covenant Places, we have two generations. And I'm not talking about the 15 units that, you know, can be for younger people. We have residents in their 90s and hundreds who even have children who are living with us who are in their 70s and 80s. And so what's happening just globally is this expansion of the senior demographic. So you mentioned the numbers, but if you just think about it, people are now, many people are living into their 90s. I mean, we see it constantly. We have, you know, 97-year-olds in the aerobics class, and there's a 93-year-old who walks 6 miles every day, and she's darling, by the way. You know, she's cute. And so we're seeing this sort of change in how we look at aging and what we consider to be elderly. And what's happening as a result of that is we've got this older demographic that is remaining with us, which is wonderful. And we have the baby boomer generation pushing into that older demographic. And I always visualize it as you have a bathtub that's already filled with water. The stopper is in it, so nothing's going out the drain. And guess what? We just turned those spigots on full force. So pretty soon we're going to have a mess on the floor, right?
Right.
So this idea of how do we provide services and resources to help people in the way that we can, because we're never going to have enough affordable housing, unfortunately. How can we do that in a way that makes sense to provide quality and dignity to an older person's life, enables them to remain well and independent, and is also very cost effective for society.
Absolutely. And that'll get us into what, you know, these new buildings, these beautiful buildings, Covenant 1 and now Covenant 2, that was just, you just had to do your ribbon cutting, where the new Mirowitz Center is housed. Tell me a little bit about the Mirowitz Center.
So I'd like to just start by sharing with you how this project came into being and how we got here. I mentioned that our buildings were failing and we had to figure out what we were going to do with them. And then we did this demographic study, which actually preceded the Federation's demographic study. And we saw that there was 16,000 older adults in 3 miles, which of course we know this is the home of the NORC, the Jewish Federation St. Louis NORC, which is the naturally occurring retirement community. And we see 16,000 living in close proximity and then 45,000 living in a 5 mile radius. We also saw that the income of the people in this area, about a quarter, were actually income eligible to live in this affordable housing. So the needs of the greater community wasn't going to be very different than the needs of our residents who are doing quite well. And that was the thought. It's, you know, if we're going to do this project and we know we have wait lists and we can't accommodate everyone, how could we actually then expand what's working here to this greater community? And I wanted to tell you that in many ways, this project never should have worked. We were never a fundraising organization for so many years. And yet, when we started to talk to people in this community and we expressed what the need was and the why behind it, this community just opened its hearts and its arms and its mind, I think, to the understanding that this was a real problem that was not only here, but that was going to magnify as we go forward. So we said, what could we do that would help residents who live in this greater area to have the same access to resources and services and socialization that has helped our residents to do so well? And so we decided perhaps we could do something more and create this center that would become a hub with medical, social, nutrition, classes, cognitive stimulation, lifelong learning, and really to realize the opportunity of aging as well as to address the challenges. And I will tell you, we have people who now are contacting us from around the country. We had a group of people fly in for a two-hour meeting from Cincinnati, Ohio, from their Jewish community because they heard about this project and they wanted to see if they might do something similar themselves. Just yesterday, I received a call from someone in Mississippi who heard about this project. I've had calls from Arkansas and Portland, Oregon, and Broward County, Florida. And the one thing that people say over and over again when they hear about this project, they say, wow, you must have a really wonderful Jewish community. And that's the message that comes from this is, wow, we have a wonderful Jewish community, a community that really cares about older adults and quality of life and family. Because what happens with our older adults happens to the whole family. It has impact to the whole family as well.
And to really be a model out there in the country that others are contacting St. Louis. See, what is happening here in St. Louis is really beautiful and powerful. And it's beyond just being a place to live. What you have created really is a place to thrive.
Right.
That is the unique, I think, proposition with Covenant Place that sets itself apart from so many other senior housing areas. So thank you for that. I have my own personal connection to Covenant House. I grew up visiting my older aunt who lived there. My mom would take me there every Sunday and my aunt would make us banana bread. And I had these fond memories of being there and seeing her thrive in that and Covenant Place. So it's beautiful. So I think a lot of people in the community have a personal connection and a personal story of a relative that has been impacted beautifully because they have lived there or have a connection there. So wonderful. And so now we have these two gorgeous buildings and a third on its way potentially, correct?
Right. Well, we have a three-phase master plan ultimately to replace these three buildings, all of which having been evaluated by engineers and architects, we've learned we should not be rehabbing, we should be replacing. And so our goal is to complete the third phase and to have renewed this resource for this community for, you know, hopefully the next 5 to 10 decades. And that's the goal of the project. And of course, in doing so, we had this opportunity that came up because when you build, you can then say, what else do we need? And in envisioning and understanding really through research what the needs were of older adults in our community, we determined that in this building, the second of the three, which is the Covenant Place 2 Kahn family building, that we could build a real resource space that would be a hub for senior adults in our community, and that's called the Mirowitz Center. And we're so fortunate that Helene Mirowitz really wanted to be a part of this. We were just honored to name the Mirowitz Center for her. And it's a very special place. It's really almost a unique place in the country for all that it is providing under one roof.
So Marianne, I'd love to ask you about that as director of the Mirowitz Center. Tell me about it. What are some of the unique things that the center provides? How does that work? Who can access it?
Absolutely. I'd be thrilled to tell you about it. So as Joan has mentioned, there are a lot of seniors in our area, and we've seen from the great work of Covenant Place how being involved and engaged in activities, classes, medical care, access to resources really helps avoid isolation, depression, improves people's health. In order to provide those things for community members who are not residents, we have created the Mirowitz Center, and it is open to all, regardless of age, regardless of religion. It is free of charge. There is no membership fee. It's open to all. So we are very excited to have a variety of classes, programs, special events that go into health, wellness, arts and culture, social, exercise, multi-generational activities. There's a little something for everyone. In addition to all of that, we have our new HJ's Cafe that will be opening soon after. And this is unique in our community because it is the first time that we have had a Kovad certified kosher kitchen and non-kosher kitchen in the same restaurant that is going to be able to serve many in our community, and it is right in the center. And then on the other side, we have a complete medical wing that has RPI therapy services. It has Washington University geriatric primary care, a weight management program, a center for hearing and speech, total foot care. So really, we are hoping that people come and take advantage of all that the center has to offer. You can come have lunch, see a movie, visit your therapist. And then the last piece of the building is all of the access to our wonderful community resources. As Joan has said, our community is really, really special, and we have a lot of wonderful organizations that serve the needs of the elderly in our community. So we want to be a hub for people to find out more about them, and many of them have chosen to actually procure office space in our building. So the St. Louis Newark will be present in our building, ITN Gateway, which is a transportation service run by volunteers. We'll have an office there. Royal Bank. It's really kind of one-stop shopping for all of the people in the community that would care to come. And any classes that we have, we want to make it very low barrier for people. It's either free or $5. Occasionally, there's another class from a provider like COCA is going to be teaching an art class there. So when there's supply fees, it might get over $5. But really, the majority of our offerings are offered either free or $5. And so we're hoping it's a very easy way for seniors in the community to have access to a whole slew of activities, healthcare resources that will keep them active and living long, happy, independent lives.
It all sounds amazing and wonderful. And besides the people, the residents of Covenant Place, how are you getting that word out to the community? Unless they're listening to our podcast.
Yes, we hope everyone listening
so
comes on.
So please share. If you're listening, send the link.
We will have a program guide that is going to list everything that we are doing. It will be delivered through the Jewish Light. They have been wonderful to work with. They are printing and distributing about 10,000 copies of that program guide that will list everything happening at the center from September to the end of October. And we're going to be placing them around town as well. And then we're working with a number of other community partners that will help spread the word as well. The St. Louis Library comes to the Merowit Center twice a month, and they're involved with some of our programming. They are going to be handing those guides out and telling people about what we do. And the other community partners, JCRC, the Center for Jewish Learning, Nishma, there are a whole host of other community partners that are going to have programs with us in the Merowit Center. So they will be promoting those classes as well to reach their audiences.
You know, one of the goals of doing this center was we were going to build the space so that there could be space for other organizations to offer programs and services in this hub. And if you think about it, for an older adult, you reach this point that's not unlike maybe, you know, a teenager or a tweenager before they're driving and really able to be out and about on their own. There becomes less to do as you age. If you're not really able to drive far and wide, and sometimes, you know, your social circles may diminish a bit, you don't have as many people to do things with, or their capacity to do it may change. You're looking for things to do. And it doesn't have to be a time that when you sit up in the chair and just watch TV all day. It really can be a wonderful time of life where you can go out and explore and try your hand at things that maybe you haven't tried before, like a painting class through COCA, or singing in the community choir, or learning how to play bridge or mahjong if you haven't explored these games yet. So it really can be a time of learning and interest and engagement. Marion said the JCRC is going to be doing current events programs there, and CJW is going to do a whole series on advocacy. So as a senior adult, your voice is very important, and how can you make it heard? How do you do the advocacy? And then they'll culminate with a trip to Jefferson City for those who are capable of doing it. We're going to have lots of interesting programs and classes taught by some of the rabbis that are in the area really interested in having joining them, even interdenominational kinds of discussions. And so we're hoping it'll be a lively hub that people can drop in. You know, any day of the week, there will be people there with whom they can engage, whether it's a technology class or a meal or even just sitting in the lobby and visiting with other people.
And talk about just building community. Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit about volunteers, people who really want to connect with Covenant Place. Will there be opportunities for community members to come and volunteer with the residents and with the community?
So many volunteer opportunities are available at the Murowitz Center. So first of all, we have welcome desk greeters, and we want to make sure when people come in, they're having a nice welcoming experience. They know where to go in the building because the medical wing is on the opposite side of the cafe. We can direct people, but also it's a great spot for people who want to be social and interactive. And I'll just share a story with you that I think is so illustrative of the importance of volunteerism in community. A few years back, I was walking down the hall by our management office, our leasing office, and a woman who was probably in her late 50s was there with her mother, who was probably in her early 80s. The mother in her early 80s was, head was bowed down. She clearly was not very engaged. And the daughter said to me that, you know, she was looking for housing for her mother because her father had been in nursing care for quite a while. This caregiving had really isolated her mother, this years of caregiving, and now they felt that the father was probably near the end of his life, and she wanted to get her mother on a waiting list so she could find a home in a more social environment for her. And so we were chit-chatting, the daughter and I, and I grabbed an activity calendar, and I said, you know what, you don't have to wait to move in here before you can start to get involved. And I started showing her the exercise classes, the movies, the dinner, all these things. And she lifted up her head, and she looked at me in the eye, and she smiled, and she said, oh, when I was a young woman, I used to help serve the meals here.
Wow.
And all I could think of is, you know, we talk so much in this community about la dorvador, right, from generation to generation. And here I thought, you know, this woman, when she was younger and had the capacity to give, she gave to this community. She participated as a volunteer. And now, thank goodness, as a community, we're strong enough that we could still be there for her when she needed that same assistance. And that says everything about this community.
What a beautiful, beautiful story and a beautiful illustration of the power of community and power of the collective and the importance of having a beautiful residence for people and for older people in the community. And just come and check out the space. It's absolutely beautiful.
Absolutely. I think people will be very surprised. It's modern. It's very beautiful. We have art in there that is like a boutique art gallery. It is from the JCA Foundation that has been curated and put in storage after the JCA building closed and now brought out of storage so it can be enjoyed by everybody. So inviting and warm and modern, and we can't wait to open our doors and show everyone.
Well, what a gift to the community and really a vision that I know, Joan, when you started at Covenant, 8 years ago, you had when you looked at it to say, what can we do to really make sure that our older generations are thriving, not just living day to day, but really living a life of vibrancy? I'm really excited to see the Murowitz Center in action, and I hope our community will come and support and be part of the programming and enjoy the good food and really get to know the residents and other older people in the neighborhood. I want to thank you both for being my guests today. I want to make sure any other last-minute parting thoughts you have to close out this interview. It's been really a pleasure.
Well, first of all, I think the Federation's tagline, here for good, is probably appropriate to say right now, because really that's what all the organizations that benefit from the Federation's grant funding and from our community dollars that provide that funding, that's what we're all here for. We're all here for good. And you feel it when you walk into this property, when you come into the Murowitz Center. And hopefully it's just another piece of this beautiful fabric of our community that makes us intertwined in each other's lives and really feeling that we're part of something that's greater than ourselves.
Terrific.
Yes. Thank you for having us.
Well, thank you for being with us. As I mentioned at the top of the podcast, Federation is now in our 100 Days to Make an Impact. The name of this podcast is a play on our model, Here for Good, which drives all of the work we do at Federation. We are here for good as we expand and strengthen an engaged, vibrant, and flourishing St. Louis Jewish community, as we secure the well-being and safety of individuals, as we strengthen our connection to Israel and the Jewish people worldwide, and as we develop the financial and human resources and infrastructure needed by our community. We can only accomplish this with the support of our community. Working collaboratively with community leadership and thanks to the philanthropy of thousands of volunteers and donors, Federation makes strategic community investments that go right to the very heart of the better world we all want. Please visit jfedstl.org to make your donation today. And before we go, we always like to highlight a few of the many events going on in our community. On September 8th, ADL Heartland will be joining forces with local musician allies, the Brothers Lazaroff, and friends for ADL in Concert, Music for Love and Respect. The family-friendly concert will take place at the Del Mar Hall in the Loop. And we are now quickly approaching the date for Federation's annual meeting, the September 12th event at Federation's Kaplan-Feldman Complex. This meeting includes the bestowing of several awards, and let me congratulate the winners. Ellen Alper, Executive Director of NCJW St. Louis, is the recipient of the 2019 Fred A. Goldstein Professional Excellence Award. Andy Babbitts and Lauren Cohen were named winners of the David N. and Roslyn Grossberg Young Leadership Award. And the 2019 Reuben Brown Corporate Leadership Award will go to Wolf Shoe Company for its steadfast support of Federation campaign and the Jewish community. Congratulations, one and all. That's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to Here for Good.